T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
That's right, baby. Baldy joins us every single Tuesday at 7:30 a.m. during the football season. And boy, did we have some great football last weekend. A wild, wild card weekend, starting off with the Raiders and Bengals. And, of course, the highlight of it all was the Niners going down to Arlington, Texas, and beating the Cowboys in Jerry's World. And I always love Shasky when Baldy gets the breakdowns rolling. And the first one that hit me yesterday was when he tweeted at the Niners, said they dressed 9 defensive linemen, and it was a giant buffet eating contest. Everyone got to eat, and this is 2 weeks in a row. Affecting a quarterback is the quickest way to win big games, and that's something we cited all week long, the trenches. And the Niners dominate the trenches, and they hang off for dear life against the Cowboys. Baldy, good morning, man. How you doing, brother?
Bonte, Joe, I'm doing great, and it's good to be with you guys. I know how excited you are about what just happened and what can happen. And so I'm just happy to be a part of the whole thing.
And you are a part of this whole thing. And let's start with that defensive line. We'll get to the quarterback. We'll get to Debo. We'll get to the Cowboys and what happened on the final play there. But this defensive line really set a tone on that first three and out of the football game. Getting pressure on Dak. He rolls out to the right. They're in his face. He throws an incompletion on third long. He gets sacked by Nick Bosa. And from there, he just was not in a complete – he was not in the rhythm. At times, yeah, they ran no huddle and they got up and down the football field. But for the most part, even without Nick Bosa in that second half, Baldy, it was a DJ Jones party. It was an Eric Armstead party. Charles Omenihu, he was getting in the backfield. Jordan Willis. This defensive line has really turned it up over the last 6 weeks of the season.
Well, not to get, you know, stat happy right away, but, I mean, they've hit the quarterback 27 times in the last 2 weeks with 10 sacks. Ooh. I mean, nobody in this league has got anything near that. 27 hits on the quarterback. And so the first play of the game, Al Shahir, hit Dak, you know, just coming from his linebacker position and knocked him backwards. You know, he floated the ball. You saw how bad he was and just, you know, missing it, receivers and floating it. And you could see how frustrated he was in the pocket. You know, they couldn't get the ball to their star players. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was a non-factor in that game. And so that's what this game is all about. It's about the quarterback and what can you do to the quarterback. And, you know, to see Nick Bosa play 23 snaps before, you know, his head got snapped off. And then to see everybody pick it up. Omenihu goes in there. Jordan Willis goes in there. To see those guys pick it up like you didn't lose, as good a pass rusher as there is in the NFL. That's a credit. That's a credit to D'Amico Ryans and to the staff right now. And what they did.
You know, it's tough to tell. B was at the game. I'm at home watching on the television. The pass rush is evident. They don't show you the back end of the secondary, the coverage. But it felt like, to me, on my eyes, it was as good of a cover game from Mosley and Aubrey Thomas and Ward and Tart as we've seen all year. What did the back end of that defense do in that game?
Well, I thought they mixed things up pretty good, you know. And they really, you know, mysteriously – you know, I mean, if you compare, you know, what Dallas does to, like, say, what Cincinnati does. I mean, Cincinnati comes out, and they let you know right away, Ja'Marr Chase is our guy. We're going to him. And for the first six plays, they go to Ja'Marr Chase. But the Cowboys, They don't play football like that for whatever reason. So they didn't really try to isolate any matchups. But, you know, you look at a guy like Emmanuel Moseley and what he did in that game. I mean, he had 12 tackles in the game. You know, so, you know, whether it was run fits against Ezekiel Elliott, whether it was, you know, their perimeter game on the outside. I mean, he was a big, big factor in that game. And then, you know, they really didn't get challenged that much down the field, you know. And, you know, they kept the penalties down as well. And so that's the other thing that you have to worry about in today's ball game is just the penalties. But I didn't feel like the secondary, you know, was guilty of many infractions.
Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 Game, joining us as he does every single Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning, breaking down a Niners victory over the Dallas Cowboys. To switch gears and go to the offense, I got to go to Deebo Samuel, man. Deebo Samuel just continues to impress. After K'Wall Williams picked that Dak pass off, Deebo right away scampers for 26 yards, division, the cutback lanes, and Baldy, he just continues to set a tone, a physical tone. Nobody wants to tackle him. When he gets in the open field, he puts on the afterburners. What a year Deebo's having for the 49ers, and they got to continue to ride him here as they go to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, Baldy.
And they will. They will. They won't get away from him. I mean, he's too big a part of what they're doing right now in the ways that they do it. You know, I think I heard Kyle say something during the week that, you know, the key number in the whole game was to, you know, be able to run the ball somewhere 33 to 35 times. And I said the same thing. And, you know, they end up running it, you know, 38 times. You know, of course, Deebo, you know, he had the most important run of the day. But, you know, you got Deebo 10 carries. 10 carries. I mean, nobody could have predicted back in July and August when this team was being put together that you'd get to the first round of the playoffs and Deebo would get 10 carries. Nobody. And so, you know, that's where they're at right now. He's just that good. He started the game at tailback form, you know. So, like, his role has just emerged. And you can see it. It's spreading around the league right now. You know, you see Isaiah McKenzie in Buffalo is playing tailback. They're realizing that these receivers, especially when they're built like Deebo, you can't. You'd be foolish if you just, okay, we'll throw to them five times a game. We, you know, we'll target them eight. We'll get five. Like, let's get the ball in their hands, you know. And once you realize that they have vision, that they have change of pace, you know, all that kind of stuff, then you got to feed them. And that's what they're doing right now.
And what are you seeing from this offensive line in terms of keeping Jimmy Garoppolo upright? Because it feels like they're playing their best ball of the year. Alex Mack looked like his helmet almost got ripped right off his head on multiple occasions. But yet they're giving this guy a clean pocket. They're creating run holes, and Elijah Mitchell's hitting them.
Well, the run game is huge, you know. So and that's not to slight Jimmy at all. We know what he's dealing with that, you know, with the hand, but. You know, when you can run it 38 times, you're only throwing it 25 times. I mean, they didn't sack him. You know, this whole defense of the Cowboys is built around pressuring the quarterback. I mean, that's what Randy Gregory, Tank Lawrence, Micah Parsons, I mean, that's what they've been doing all year. And they didn't get to Jimmy at all. And so the play action worked. The protection up front was outstanding. And they're not a big max protection team. I mean, they've just, you know, they just kind of line up and block you up. And, you know, and then it's up to, you know, the routes to win and, you know, Ayuk to win on the deep ball. And, you know, and that's what they did. But the offense line was, you know, they played a complete game, just a complete game. And it was fun to watch it because nobody does what the 49ers do in the run game. Nobody can even – if you drew it up on a board and said, okay, this is what we do, nobody could do it because it's not just the play. It's how it's taught. And then it's how it's pounded into their brains that this is what you got to do. So setting up trap plays with little fakes by the wide receivers, or how the tight end, you know, Kittle and Warner, you know, play with Juice and how Juice cleans things up. I mean, you could draw it up. Nobody's going to execute it the way the 49ers do. And, you know, Micah Parsons is as good a defensive player as there is in this league. And when you watch him catching blocks – You're not going to defeat any run game by catching blocks. But he's catching blocks because he doesn't see Kittle coming at him. And so, like, the angles that they hit you with and how they hit you and the timing that they hit you with, That's what you end up doing. The linebackers end up catching blocks.
Man, what a performance by that offensive line. Elijah Mitchell ran hard, 27 carries, 96 yards.
You mentioned Baldy.
You mentioned Debo, 10 carries, 72 yards. They just ran hard. They ran hard. They would not go down with that first tackle. It was beautiful to see here. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, look, I thought he played very well early on. I thought he set a tone, some big-time third-down throws. One of Juwan Jennings on the sideline, and then things tailed off for him. And now he's dealing with a slight shoulder sprain. So, thumb injury on the right hand, his throwing hand, slight shoulder sprain with his throwing shoulder. I don't really see quarterbacks have much success with shoulder sprains, Baldy. And that can't be, like, is it going to be tough for him to loosen this up in that cold weather in Green Bay? Like, that's got to be difficult to even loosen up.
Yeah, I agree. I have no idea what the weather's going to be like. I don't think
it's say 7 degrees,
I have no idea.
7 degrees, Baldy, and the snow's going to be coming.
It was minus six in Buffalo, and Josh Allen didn't make a mistake, and the receivers didn't drop a ball. So, I mean, that's the standard right now, what we saw in Buffalo against the Patriots. I mean, they didn't have one negative play the whole day. So, you know, it's just a mindset. But, look, I have no idea what it's like. You know, does Jimmy have a 10-pound weight on his thrown arm right now with that slight shoulder tear or whatever, you know, whatever you want to classify it as? I have no idea. And so I know this. I know if you can't step into your throw and drive a ball, regardless of what the temperature is, it's going to affect how your team plays.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to have to complete the third downs to Jennings, a deep ball to Ayuk. You're going to have to make those throws in this game. You're going to have to, at the end of the game, regardless how well the 49ers play and run the ball, regardless, you're going to be able to, you're going to have to pull out five pass plays that Jimmy made or you know, whoever, makes in order to win that game that are just going to be highlight plays. And, you know, it could be the catch, it could be the throw, it could be a combination, but there's going to be five, a minimum of five, that you got to make to beat this Packers team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We've gone long enough. I mean, the big talking on all the major networks yesterday was the final play, the final play, the final play, or I guess the final couple of plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Not the 14 penalties, not the physicality of the 49ers, like not all the good stuff that the Niners did and allowing them to come back into the game. Break down the final couple of plays, Baldy, from your perspective.
All right, so they get the ball with 38 seconds to go, you know, at their 20-yard line, and they complete three passes in a row. They go 40 yards basically in, you know, 18 seconds. So, you know, they're moving. Now, on those three plays, D'Amico Ryan's called a picket line defense where he rushed four and he had seven guys across the back end. And Dallas rightfully, even with the, you know, the catch and flip, you know, they picked up good yards. They got out of bounds in all three of them. And then D'Amico Ryan said, that's enough. And then he changed the defense. And so then he decided to go from a picket line defense to guarding the sidelines with three players on each side. So three on one sideline, three on the other sideline, and then your two safeties, okay, Tart and Ward. And then they rushed four. And so Dallas saw that, and they, I think Dak called the play at the line of scrimmage because I don't think he knew what they were going to do. But as soon as he saw that, to Dak's credit and to the Cowboys' credit, they came up with this play. Now, I didn't like the play. I still don't like to play. But, you know, you scramble for 17 yards. Jim Nantz said it as soon as he did it. I don't know about this. And as soon as he did it, I said the same thing. I don't know about this.
We
That's
all
a long ways to go for everything to go right. Now, if Dak gets up off the ball and finds, you know, George Ramon, the umpire, and hands it to him, they're going to have a chance to spike it. But not if you give it to your center, and then the center's got to give it to the umpire, and the umpire's got to get through the traffic and spot it. They ran out of time. And so I give D'Amico Ryan's credit because he forced that play by changing up his defense in that situation. So to me, you could talk about how the Cowboys foiled the opportunity, and they did. But at the same time, I want to give D'Amico Ryan's credit for changing that defense and being ready to guard the sidelines and force the Cowboys to either run that play or throw the ball inside where the clock is your enemy.
I'm so glad you're bringing up D'Amico Ryans because me and Bonte throughout this whole year have like Just we've been blown away at what we've seen from him. Yeah. His ability to adjust. I mean, he's sending Jimmy Ward on blitzes late in
big
that
blitz.
Game. I mean,
that was just, a big blitz.
It was
Jasky.
A huge play. I just love what I've seen from him. And Robert Saleh was a big hole. Like, this is a guy that everybody really loved. And how are these two guys different in Robert Saleh's defense versus – I know the personnel's a lot different, but what are you noticing in terms of what makes D'Amico Ryan's defense really good? Not that it's better than Saleh's, but what are the differences between the two of them?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, just the emotional. I mean, you know, Robert Saleh was jumping out of his skin on a sideline. You don't see that from D'Amico Ryans. I mean, he's very calm. Now, not to say that you can't still call a great game when you're just, just freaking out on the sideline sometimes. But you don't see that from D'Amico. But, you know, they've always been, I mean, both of them like to send a fifth rusher. You know, whether it's Kaywan Williams, whether it's Fred Warner fixed into it. You know, the Bosa sack was a twist stunt, you know, off of the linebacker
beautiful.
Right there.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
like that, you know, nobody could have – they haven't really shown that twist before. And to get Bosa home like that was an important play. But, you know, it's all about – everybody – I think Robert and D'Amico all have kind of the same package of blitzes. It's really just a feel. When to send it, when to do it. And then, you know, to have enough work at it that you can execute it with disguise, with urgency, and with execution. And so that's what it comes down to. But I feel like D'Amico's got a really good touch of when to send. I've never seen D'Amico just go zero blitz and just send the house. I haven't seen it. They might have done it. I haven't seen a blitz zero from him. So they're very conservative in what they do. I think both of them are. I think Saleh is the same way. I think he's a little more aggressive with the Jets because they were a poor team. But right. I feel like D'Amico wants to protect the back end and not give up the home run, but still affect the quarterback.
Are they the best defense left?
Well, I think that, the Rams can play great defense. They've got great personnel. So I don't want to say and the Bucs blitz better than anybody else in the league and blitz more than anybody else in the league. You know, and so Buffalo finished the season ranked number one in the league in defense, but they're without Tre'Davious White. That might show up this weekend against Kansas City. And that's their best defensive player. So, I mean, it's the final eight. Everybody's got a good defense at this point. Are they the best?
Right.
Well, if they go into Green Bay and beat the best quarterback, this week, then they're the best defense.
Well, how are they going to get that done? Week 3, Packers win 30-28. It was all about the clock management at the end of the game. That one kind of similar to what happened in this Dallas Cowboys game this past Sunday. But Mason Crosby hits the 51-yard field goal to win the game. They get out to a 17-0 lead. Niners crawl back. Now, if they fall behind 17-0 Saturday, it could be lights out. You don't want to do that up there in Green Bay. But how are the Niners going to battle with Green Bay coming off this bye week? They're humming right now. Devontae Adams is unguardable. Man. Their running game is churning. Dylan. They're getting guys back defensively. How are the Niners going to do this and pull off the shocker Saturday night in Lambeau Field? What do they have to do to really keep Aaron Rodgers off the spot other than beat him up time to time?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it starts with the 49ers offense. You know, you've got to put, like, to open up the game the way they did against Dallas. I mean, it was huge to go right down the field, execute like that, put 7 points on the board. I mean, that's always a great way to start a game. You know, it lets everybody know you're in it. But, you know, in that first game, week 3, I know it's a long, you know, 4 months ago, but, you know, Trey Sermon was their starting back. Kyle Juszczyk ran the ball 5 times in that game. They didn't have the running back. They didn't have Elijah Mitchell. They didn't have Jeffrey Wilson. They didn't have those guys back then. They were trying to cobble a running game together. Brandon Ayuk carried it. George Kittle carried it. You know, they've got a much better tandem right now up front. And so, to me, just like when they beat the Packers 2 years ago in the championship game, I mean, look at how they ran the ball against the Packers. And look at how Aaron Rodgers had to play from behind and what that looked like. I mean, to me, if you're a 49er fan, just go back and rewatch that game. And that's what it can look like, even if it's at Lambeau. It doesn't matter. You know, lock in. Don't let the noise, you know, the atmosphere crush you, the weather, the atmosphere, the noise, all that stuff. Like, lock in and, you know, run the ball the way you're capable of running it. This will be a good football game.
Baldy, what's the coldest game you ever played in?
Nah, I played against Buffalo one time. It was 33 below. It was pretty severe, I announced a game. One time in Kansas City, and Carolina, like in the dead of December, and it was 28 below zero. They had one of those northerlies that blew through the plains. 28 below zero in Kansas City. That was pretty rough.
Did you take your shirt off?
Minnesota.
Like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, in the stands?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we'd never wear a sleeve. Never. You know, I lived in Minnesota and delivered morning newspapers in 50 below zero weather. I know what, you know, deathly cold weather is.
You know, so, 33 so get
below
ready for that.
To me.
Man. Go ahead, Baldy.
Like the weather's the temperature is the temperature. The key is the wind. The wind is what makes it difficult. Mm. The wind affects the throws. The wind affects, you know, you can't hear when it's windy because, you know, you got these little ear holes and the wind just, you know, it doesn't allow you to hear anything. So that's the key. The cold, I think they'll be just fine. But if it's, you know, 10, if it's above 10, 15 knots blowing, then that really affects the game.
Oh, well, we can't wait. We can't wait to break it down with you next Tuesday. Niners and Packers, it just feels right. We got three rematches here during the divisional round.
Yep.
With the Bucks and Rams, and of course the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs and Niners and Packers. Then you got a good one in Tennessee. Tennessee with the upstart Bengals against the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be great. They say this is the best weekend in all of sports, the divisional round. Who's going to the championship game?
Yeah.
Who's going home? We can't wait to see it. Baldy, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, guys. You bet, man. I can't wait myself.
Love it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.